Well, hi, I'm Robert.
I am Jaron.
This is What We Really Thought of...
Did you try to remember what we watched?
The Descendants.
There you go.
War Horse Again and Young Adult.
It's been a weird day.
We're going to start with our non-spoiler section, as usual. The Descendants is a film directed / co-written by Alexander Payne, who did Election, About Schmidt, and Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I believe this is his first film since About Schmidt.
Yeah.
Where I think he won the Oscar for that. Anyway, like all of his other movies, it's based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
About, well, no, the book. I'm assuming the book is about the same thing. It's about a guy who's King.
Yeah.
I forget his first name. King, played by George Clooney, who is the, who has to, his wife is in a coma, and her plug is going to be pulled soon. She's going to die. He has to make the arrangements for everyone to meet, you know, to say goodbye to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he's trying to track down and confront the person she was cheating on him with.
Yeah.
There's also another subplot about him being the descendant of the Hawaiian royalty. It's set in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian royalty, and having to figure out who to sell off the last
mm-hmm.
piece of virgin Hawaiian property to.
Yes.
I would not necessarily recommend it. It was okay, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I've been saying that a lot lately.
I'm
realizing more and more I need to try and think of how to go more in depth. But I felt it was it's not necessarily that I've seen a story like this before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure I have seen a story before about someone who's tracking down his wife's lover and confronting them.
Mm-hmm.
Though not necessarily under the same circumstances.
But yes.
I guess it just didn't call out to me.
Didn't
there was
click.
Nothing that specifically clicked with me.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad movie. It
mm-hmm.
just didn't connect with me in a way that it does with other
mm-hmm.
people. But Clooney was strong as usual. I don't
yes.
think I've ever seen the man deliver a bad performance.
Yeah.
His daughter was also good.
Yeah.
I forget the character's name, but
mm-hmm.
the actress, her last name is Wooly or Woody, and she stars in the Juno TV knockoff on ABC Family. Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Yeah. Huh.
I would say, you know, if you've seen the previews and you take an interest, maybe check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not playing in a lot of places right now.
Yeah.
Wait until video. It's definitely not a theatrical
mm-hmm.
experience. It doesn't demand
theatrical
experience.
Yeah.
It's a quiet film. Probably actually best enjoyed privately. Right?
Yeah.
Than sharing the theater with
people
like
us. It definitely is. If it's a movie that touches home, it might be sort of an emotional movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I completely understand your response, because that was pretty much where I was sitting. It wasn't like there was anything particularly off-putting about the movie or, like, anything bad about it. It was just, it wasn't necessarily for me. You know, I didn't have an emotional connection with it because I had never gone through something like that. The ending was a little bit more... just the hospital-related stuff was a little bit... did touch a little bit, because, you know, I'd had family members in the hospital before, and I had a family member die semi-recently, so it did kind of drag up some memories from that, which I imagine it would for just about anybody who had been in that kind of a situation before, even if it wasn't necessarily a really, really close family member. But It's certainly not a bad movie to see, but if it's certainly not something that people need to rush out and see.
I would say I wouldn't. I would place it probably as the least of that director's works.
Yeah.
Election being my favorite, just because it takes place in the same demographic as I was when I saw it. It's about high school election.
Yeah.
And I thought Sideways was somewhat funny and casual, although not. I didn't think it necessarily deserved all the awards attention. But it did
get quite a lot. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I didn't love it or hate it. It was just kind of a movie.
I guess we can go because it's pretty early on. But what do you think of Shaggy as the lover?
I laughed about that pretty hard for a good little while.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, and it's just because he's fucking Shaggy. He always will be. You know what I mean? In those live action Scooby-Doo movies, he's Shaggy. So seeing him in just something, it was just really funny. It's not like he did anything specific, and it's not like he was bad. Like that's one good thing I can say about the movie. Everyone turned in really good performances, I thought. Like everything was really believable and honest. You know, I really like. I particularly enjoyed the way they handled the ending. Because that is kind of how it happens, you know what I mean? But I did laugh pretty hard about that. I thought the score was kind of a nice little touch too. I don't know who that guy was that was basically the score for the entire thing. I'm assuming he's a Hawaiian acoustic artist, but that was also kind of a nice touch. It gave it a sort of only in Hawaii type feel.
There was some nice cinematography as well. I can't say, well, the scenery was nice. I can't necessarily say whether it was the cinematography, because I think there's a possibility that Hawaii always looks beautiful.
Hawaii does just kind of look like that, so.
I did think I recognized one location from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least one shot I felt like had been used in Lost, necessarily where that the characters have been there, but it would be one of those things where they cut to stuff just to establish that the island is big.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't, I don't think it was for either one of us.
Okay.
In particular.
So, War Horse, Steven Spielberg's latest movie, adapted from play/book about a horse that gets involved in escapades during World War I. I've talked about it a little bit already, mostly I'm curious about your reaction. This is my second time. We'll say the problems that I had with it before still stuck with me, but I didn't have the same expectations, so it did play a little bit better just because I wasn't expecting, say, Saving Private Ryan again.
Yeah.
You know, just following a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that was... those were my expectations was...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he did Saving Private Ryan. It's basically he's going to take that same approach to World War I, but of course is the thorough line.
Okay.
But nope.
Yeah. You know, the movie kind of landed for me the same way the Descendants did. It really felt like it wasn't quite for me. Like I didn't dislike it. There were some moments I enjoyed, and that's just mainly because it is a good movie. You know, like it's a well done movie, but it almost feels like a generational thing. Like it wasn't my kind of movie. You know, it's clear that this movie wasn't done for necessarily people my age. You know what I mean? It was really done kind of like old school style. You know. So, I liked it well enough, but it certainly isn't anything that I was going to take anything away from. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I did like the score quite a bit.
Yeah, John Williams did turn out a good score.
Yeah, as he always does. So, I mean, like, that was quite enjoyable. And like I said, it's not like the movie wasn't enjoyable. I did kind of feel the same issues with the middle that you did. But I didn't really dwell on them all that much. Because, like, again, I just kind of...
It
was just kind of a movie for me.
Would it be spoilers to ask what you thought was the strongest segment out of the six? Yeah, they had the opening at the farm. They had the officers in there, but they had the German kids.
Yeah.
There's the French farmhouse.
Yeah.
There was the brief...
Yeah.
Like, I guess the rest is just the answer, I suppose, five segments then.
I guess the strongest one was the, I really like the escape scene where the horse is running. That I really liked. That was a really well done, just in general part. But, all of it felt really kind of almost surreal, I guess I could say. It didn't really feel like real people in some aspects. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just because, I don't know, I think it was that whole, the whole scene right after that. It's not like, I sort of liked the scene after that where they're cutting the horse free of the barbed wire. There was also something kind of artificial about how the whole thing was. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like, moments like that haven't happened, because they have. You know what I mean? But, I don't know, something about some parts of the movie rang really artificial for me for some reason, you know? And it could have been the horse, too, because, like, it's not like, I think it was the attitude they kind of gave the horse. They kind of made the horse a little too sentient for my taste, you know what I mean? like that the horse understood, like weird, like concepts that I don't think a horse would completely understand. You know what I mean? Like when the guy's yelling, "Run, run!" and the horse is just standing there. I get that overwhelming feeling of, I'm a horse. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like that's how the horse is supposed to act, but instead it acts like it understands everything. You know what I mean? So I mean, but that's just, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it I guess it felt like a movie that wasn't necessarily for me. You know, but I didn't dislike it. I still think it was a good movie. It was well done. It looked good.
Definitely.
It looked really good. Like, there were some shots that were just absolutely... It was ridiculous how good they looked.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you don't get movies like that very often that just look that good.
So, up last, we have Young Adults, directed by Jason Reitman, written by Diablo Cody, so Juno Reteam.
Yes.
Starring Charlize Theron as a young adult novelist.
Yes.
Who decides to go back home upon learning that her high school boyfriend has just become a father.
Yes.
She meets up with a high school acquaintance, played by Patton Oswalt, whose character name I forget at the moment.
Crap!
She...
I do too!
...has Shit. Returned to her old town in Minnesota with the purpose of seducing her high school boyfriend and breaking up his marriage.
You know, it doesn't matter what his character name was, because I just thought... Because I just thought of it as Patton the whole time.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, I didn't...
There were some awkward parts about that movie,
yes,
there?
Especially that end, which was supposed to be awkward, but...
It was.
We'll get into that a little bit later, but...
Yeah.
I would say, even though it's a funny movie, I didn't really feel the comedy until Patton Oswalt came in.
Yes, yeah. Well,
and the opening sequence, which came, like, 10 minutes into the movie with the tape.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, it's definitely a comedy. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But it was comedy that at times didn't play out as a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There were some awkward bits that didn't necessarily feel like they were playing out like it was just a comedy, like a straight comedy. Because in a lot of ways, it's almost a, I don't know, I guess like a character study of her.
Yeah.
You know? You know, because we basically, because a lot of the movie is just like following her around through her daily life, you know, and And I think they're trying to build a certain amount of, like, you know, like, empathy for her. Like, we're supposed to, I guess, empathize with her plight. You know, just despite the fact that we're also supposed to hate her for the same reason.
Yeah.
You know? I think she's kind of...
It's interesting because kind of played, like, the other half of Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
It was a dark comedy. You could see at some points, like, yeah, this could clearly go into thriller mode, like, right here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
And because they're definitely making comparison with the through line of her writing her book, that her life is like one of those novels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or at least how she perceives things.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a very interesting movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm really glad to see Patton get such a big role in a movie. You know what I mean?
You were really enjoying that.
I was
trying to get you to shut up a little bit because you were just at a certain point late. You know, let's just save that for later, for the next bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there anything you particularly didn't like about the film?
I'll probably dig a bit more deep into it. But there was only one sticking point that really bugged me, and it was the introduction of Patton's character.
Okay.
Kind of bugged me, but I'll dig a bit more when we get into the. But like overall, the movie was a little awkward for me because like I told you right after we got out,
hit close to home in some aspects.
Yeah.
It is set, I guess, Midwest.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's the Midwest,
but
it's
just
Minnesota.
But the
layout of the town is reminiscent of, say, a Warsaw or Fort Wayne.
Yeah,
and there are aspects of characters.
Yeah.
And some dialogue that hits straight at us.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Us.
Yeah.
Almost specifically.
Yeah. Anybody who came from a small town would probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, just almost directed. It feels like it's almost directly pointed at people of small towns. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah, no, I enjoyed the movie. I definitely think people should watch it. I'm kind of hoping it becomes somewhat of a success so Patton gets some more roles.
Yeah, that would be nice.
You know?
I still need to check out his other big dramatic big fan.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that yet either, and I was really interested in
something on my Netflix queue before it was fairly high up before I bailed.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Which was before the prices rose, actually.
Yeah. So I guess would that be it for the spoiler-free section?
I think so, unless there's any previews you wanted to mention before we get into that. Not that I can remember anything off the top of my head other than Titanic 3D.
Oh my God, they are putting that in front of everything.
It was with all three movies.
Yeah!
All three movies.
It doesn't matter what the demographic is, what the genre is, they're just putting it in front of everything. It's just a blanket, just like, everybody go watch this! Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that ad a ton of times now.
Man, like my joke. Hey, maybe Leo will win the Oscar for this.
You need
to start a Twitter campaign when that comes out.
Leo deserves the Oscar.
Yeah.
For Titanic.
The 3D version.
3D release.
Yeah. Yep. He's much better.
He's much better at the 3D release than he ever was in the original.
What else was there? There was a... trying to recall, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember any trailers that particularly jumped out at me. Probably because I don't think I saw anything that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't there one that you were like, I hadn't seen this? When you guessed a twit? Oh, and they were... Oh! There was two... There was the one that was trying to cash in on The Notebook.
Yeah.
And then the other one that was actually by the guy who wrote Notebook.
Yeah, that was interesting. See, the one... I think it
was
The Vow.
The Vow. Yeah.
Which was completely cashed. Because literally in it says, Channing Tatum from... Dear John.
Yeah.
And Rachel McAdams from The Notebook.
Yeah. So they're like literally veterans of
this.
Actually
said from The Notebook, Rachel McAdams, and from Dear John, Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Which just brought to mind that episode of House.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a movie about a woman who, gets amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has to learn to love her
husband
again.
Yeah.
Or they have to learn to love each other. Well, he already was.
He has to make her fall in love with him.
Yeah,
again.
There we go. And then Was it the very next trailer, or was it?
No, it was at least one after.
One after that was a movie, The Lucky One.
Yes, The Lucky One.
Which starred Zac Efron, the grandmother from Meet the Parents, and some woman who I'm sure I've seen her in something, but mm-hmm. I forget.
What was that one about?
He's a soldier.
Oh, yeah.
He sees a picture on the ground. And he's like, hey, it's a picture on the ground. And he picks it up, and all his buddies get killed.
It saves him from, I guess, a shelling or something. Yeah. Something blows everybody up, and then, like, that picture saved his life, so he goes looking for the woman in the picture.
And he falls in love or something.
Yeah. And then, like the kind of movie where it's like, why doesn't he just explain it to her when he sees her?
Yeah, because they had several voiceovers in the trailer. I tried to explain, but it's so hard. And
what's so hard about this?
He's got a picture of you. This is sort of creepy.
And then, is it her husband?
Husband,
in the movie?
Well, baby daddy.
Baby daddy, at least. He's a cop. And I'm like, of course he's a cop. Why wouldn't he be the town cop? Of course he's the cop.
Of course he's the cop.
Just thought he was like, oh my god, this movie. You're not even trying, are you?
I believe those are all the trailers.
Was there yet another? The Dictator.
The Dictator, yes. I've seen that trailer before, but that was your first time.
That was my first time. Sacha Baron Cohen's
latest.
Yes.
From, you know, again, him and director Larry Charles. This time based very, very, very loosely on a book by Saddam Hussein.
Extremely loosely.
In that it has the same title.
About as loose as you can get, actually.
Yes. And Sacha Baron Cohen plays a dictator.
Yeah. I think he's trying... It almost seemed like he was trying to be Gaddafi. I don't know. Maybe that was just the way the trailer played out.
Yeah.
And because Gaddafi was a bit more recent than, say, Hussein. But, I don't know. It sort of played out like he was trying to be Gaddafi. But, I don't know.
We'll see, but will we be looking forward to it?
It just wasn't funny. At least, like, that was my opinion.
The last gag was good.
I've
seen that trailer like 3 or 4 times now. Yeah. I will stand behind that last gag with him shooting the other runners in his Olympic race.
Yeah.
And then having the people run the finish line back towards him.
Yep.
So he
that, was,
win.
That, that was that was that funny.
Still stands up. It's good.
It was just the rest of the trailer, and like I told you. It's not like I was offended. It's not like this sort of thing offends me. You know, I'm not like that kind of person. It was just, it wasn't funny. Like it was a lot broader than the other movies had been.
Yes,
the comedy was
definitely.
which was definitely one aspect. But the other aspect was like the racial humor, which isn't which isn't something new. But this time it felt more. It was just all. I don't know. It was like watching a comedian who makes racial jokes, where you get the distinct impression like this is how they feel. So it stops being funny, and it just starts being like, that's just sort of racist now. You know what I mean? It just kind of fell flat for me because it's not like I was offended by what he was saying. It was just kind of like. It was just kind of confusing as to exactly why he decided to attack it that way, you know. But yeah, that was just my read. I'm not necessarily a Sacha Baron Cohen fan, but I don't know. It just wasn't funny for me for whatever reason.
I suppose this means we're going to our spoiler section.
Yes.
Do you want to go in order?
I don't know. Do you?
I guess.
Well, we might as well, because it's not like we're going to have much to say about
the other Descendants, spoiler, his teen daughter's in a bikini a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a major plot point. Turns out the bikini is magical, and it caused her mother's coma.
Spoiler alert, their mom dies.
Yes.
Even though they make it clear earlier than halfway through the movie that they're pulling the plug.
Yes.
And they have to say, in fact, that's like the start of the plot, basically.
Yeah, that's the plot.
Spoiler alert, she dies. I don't know. There really wasn't, I don't know, is there anything really to dig into this movie about? Like I said, I liked their performances and everything. It all felt really real.
I was expecting that ending of him not selling the land off.
Yeah, that was... Was that cliched or just expected?
I think it was expected. I think the cliche would be him doing it specifically to spite the other guy.
Yeah.
Which he may have, but they just didn't make that obvious.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know if you I think you were out of the...
cliche trope him confronting the guy directly, like at the meeting or something, like having the meeting anyway, and then be like, oh, I'm not selling to you because you had sex with my wife. And Beau Bridges would be like, oh, you can't do that. I'm Beau Bridges, and I'm in two scenes.
I did sort of like the kids.
Yeah.
I liked his older daughter. And I think it's because she played the role of, like, standing up for her dad.
Yes.
Which is something you don't normally see in those kind of situations in movies for some reason. Like, normally, I guess I would have expected the daughter to side with the mom. You know what I mean? Not with the dad, specifically. Just for some reason, it feels like it plays out that way. But I did like the concept of her standing up for her dad, even in situations where...
Yes.
I did really like the part where he made them wait outside the room, and he walked in and just... laid into a comatose woman.
And then the,
and then right after that...
other side of the coin at the end of the movie where, Matthew Lillard's wife, Judy Greer...
Yeah.
...comes in to basically do the same thing. And then eventually, like, oh, okay, we're done now.
We're done. I was kind of...
like, well, only we can do that.
I was kind of wondering if the... I do like that, too, because that is how it is.
Also that, oh man, now she said that, now I have to forgive her.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I did kind of like that. I was wondering if the extended kiss was going to come back at that. Like, I didn't know if they were going to play it that way. I mean, they shouldn't play it that way.
In a little bit of a broader comedy, they would have.
Yeah, they shouldn't play it that way, but it just, I couldn't help thinking that when she walked into the room.
Say a dinner for schmucks, that would
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I was, like, really expecting it. It was just kind of one of those things in the back of my head, like, are they really going to do that? Okay, good, they didn't. Because that almost would have been, like, a sticky point for me. Like, I was like, why did they do that? There's no reason for it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. So what do you think of the boyfriend?
The boyfriend.
The kid who got punched in the face.
Oh, my God. He was kind of a weird addition.
Yeah.
To the whole movie, just in general. That, also, he was playing a character that had the least amount of tact I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like that car ride. I really expected Clooney to pull over and punch him in the face, like, just outside the car. Just, like, see the car stop, you hear a punch, and then he just keeps driving.
Yeah.
That's what I expected. But they didn't necessarily do that, but I wholly expected that.
I don't think I understood the point of the character. I mean, I understood... Yeah. Say in the context of why she had him around, because he had been through that recently, you know, he had a parent who died, but
I think that was
Understand why they didn't just, the character didn't contribute anything.
No. And maybe that was the point.
There are a couple of jokes, I guess.
Maybe that was the point. I mean, sometimes in situations like that, certain people do just kind of get tacked on that aren't necessarily supposed to be there. They just kind
of remind me of a relative who, at least when we were younger, she did always bring a friend to every family function.
Yeah.
Like, every single one.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it did kind of feel a bit like that. But was I the only one that there's a part where she's frustrated with him now? Because it was the car ride where I thought Clooney was going to punch him. It's obvious she's frustrated because she gets up to the front seat. I thought for sure, she mentioned something about knowing where he lived.
Yeah.
I thought they dropped him off, and, like, that was the last we were going to see that character.
Nope.
And then they pull up, and I'm like, oh, he is still with them. What the fuck was that about? I thought for sure she was just going to have him drop him off. But whatever.
Hey, he makes her more civil.
Apparently, even though she was just as civil moments when he wasn't around then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was the only... Maybe that was the only part of the movie that was weird. Was just him, his involvement in general. do we really need to touch Warhorse?
Well, we can. Did you have anything specifically?
No. Like I said, I think the only part that... it was really hard for me to get into any of the parts because, like I said, for some reason, all the people, except for some reason, the one German family with the little girl, they're the only ones
the French.
Yeah, well, were they French?
I believe so. He was French.
They were in France. Okay, I was sometimes it was sometimes hard for me to gather where exactly they were at. I wasn't paying a ton of attention. So yeah, they were French, but the French grandparent and the child, that almost felt like that could have been a part of the movie. You know what I mean? But instead it was just like this really short side note, and then like right back to the Germans.
From what I understand, most of that is all true to the playbook.
Yeah.
Play/book. The added segment was our brief time with the German kids.
Yeah, it did lead to like that cool shot with the execution.
I suppose they wanted more of a clean transition. Well, I don't know what the transition was. Maybe mm-hmm. just runs off and happens. They happen to run into the farmhouse or something.
Maybe that's how it used to be, and they wanted a reason.
Yeah,
because it does seem weird. Because like I said, that was one thing that bugged me about the movie was the whole sentient horse. Not like the horse isn't sentient before, but like the horse that understands more than it probably should.
Yeah, psychic horse.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I guess that was my, you know, I guess that's all I was going to touch on.
My last time to talk about War Horse, probably.
Yeah, anything you wanted to add?
Hey, that kind of sounded like a horse noise.
Was that part where they kept saying War Horse over and over again weird for you, too?
They only said it once.
I thought for sure they said it more than once.
No, just the one time. But they did say, like, amazing horse, beautiful horse, or whatever, yeah.
Like I said,
times.
It was almost like they were, I don't know, maybe that's how they talk.
That was probably the segment that felt the most like it was out of the play.
Uh-huh. I mean, maybe
them
maybe
just
that's
standing on stage,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking it to each other while cutting the horse out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe people at one time talked like that, and I just didn't know. That just seemed really awkward. But whatever, yeah.
Young adults.
Young adult. We did. I think that there's a number of things to touch on.
Oh, one other thing I guess I should mention in the earlier part was I was tickled by the fact that by the choice of actress playing Patton Oswalt's sister because they were both in Observe and Report together.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I remember the movie.
Seth Rogen, Malka.
Yeah. I just didn't remember her.
Patton Oswalt was her boss at the hot dog or cheese
you're
on the stick
right.
place. And he was bullying her until she cried, and then Seth Rogen came in and basically threatened to kill him if he didn't shut up.
Yeah. You're right. Wow. I had forgotten a lot of details about that movie.
I was just tickled.
Yeah, that was that they were paired up again.
Yeah. It's like, was that coincidence or no? I have no idea.
Huh.
Man, I'm sure that director, he's an indie guy. He uh-huh. probably saw Observe and Report at some point.
Maybe that's why he wanted them. Maybe he liked how they acted together on screen.
Not that they had a lot of screen time together. They just had the one scene.
Mm-hmm.
So like two lines.
She was very believable as his sister, though.
I was trying to figure that character out at the end there, where she was just one of those people that wanted to be friends with the popular chick.
That's what I gathered.
Whether she wanted some of the fame, or whether she was actually into her.
I mean, that's one way you could take it, but I took it more as she was one of those kids that always sucked up to the popular kids to try to be one of them. That's the way I took it, because that's the way it kind of seemed like she was talking. I mean, some of the things that she was saying weren't necessarily wrong or untrue, but they did cut a bit too close to the quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I enjoy that the moral at the end, or at least the moral that the main character took, was don't change, you're awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And fuck this town.
Mm-hmm. And fuck this town, yes.
Although we did get a little bit of an indication from her final
mm-hmm.
bit from the book that
she was gonna
thinking
change
about changing.
Yeah. One of the I think it was supposed to play as one of those moments in your life that sort of changes you for the better, but for the most part just kind of passes you by. You know what I mean? You don't realize the change.
Little changes.
Yeah, little changes that you don't necessarily realize.
Maybe drink a little bit less.
Yeah, exactly. maybe because it was obvious that part of her was really, really holding on to the past. So that was one thing that's definitely changing. Her letting go of her small town dreams, sort of, so to speak. You know what I mean?
So when I saw the trailer, I thought, especially when we saw Patton Oswalt was in there, I was like, you know, in a broader comedy, that would probably be the character who, you know, is the supporting guy, and then the end, he's the guy who she's destined to be with, really.
Broken people do have a tendency to find each other.
And then she does sleep with him, but...
Yes, but she leaves.
Yeah.
I think that was... That was another one of those moments that, I don't know, it kind of played out fairly realistic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially considering the raging alcoholic, you know, just kind of sleeping. She didn't seem as disgusted as she did with the other guy, you know? Yeah. She did just kind of seem like she just kind of peeled herself off and just moved on with her life.
Yeah, she was drunk, she was sad, he wanted her, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
So, I don't really regret this,
Okay, so one thing about them. I liked their relationship, I really did. But the relationship played out like they were old friends.
Yeah.
And that's not what they were. And that bugged me.
There was an over-familiarity. I mean, there was, you know, if you...
Mm-hmm.
The backstory is, you know, they did go to the same high school.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the locker next to her. So there is a weave building the fact that they would fall in just from the fact of common background.
Yeah.
And they know the same general things that happened.
Yes.
But
their banter didn't play like they were people who had just recently decided they were friends. Yeah. Their banter played like they were old friends. Like,
especially
he was an old friend
considering that basically, he was sort of her antagonist in a way. At least
yeah.
He was the conscience on her shoulder of saying, don't try and seduce this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yet she kept drinking with him anyway.
Yep.
And specifically seeking him out.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, that was...
more like something of an old friend.
Exactly.
That he would tolerate.
I kind of wish that's what they were. Like, for some reason, they had always been the two that, despite the fact that she was the cool kid... in school, for some reason, she shared some type of, like... But then again, that does kind of ring false, because that's not how it would have happened anyway. You know? I mean, I understood him knowing a lot about her if he obsessed over her, but she wouldn't know hardly anything about him. You know? It just... I liked the banter. I just... The characters felt weird for doing it that way. But that was the only thing that really bugged me about the movie, was just his introduction and the way that they... the way their characters played... I kind of wish they had just been old friends at that point.
Yeah, especially because they were acting that way.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was, I think the reason I didn't bother learning Patton's character's name, because it just felt like he was Patton Oswalt.
You laughed way too much during their sex scene. You were the only one laughing.
I couldn't help it.
Very loudly. I was like... I
could not help
just
it.
Just kept thinking,
I was just
someone's
like, wow,
going to
really?
Say, shut up, or shh, or something.
I couldn't get over the, wow, really? It was just kind of... The concept of me thinking of, all right, Patton, now here's the part where you get naked with her, and, you know, just the concept of, like, yeah, that was a special day on set for him.
So going back for a second to another movie, sort of remind me of... things we weren't necessarily supposed to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Back in The Descendants, were we supposed to laugh at the things where they're like yelling at the coma wife and they kept cutting to her, establishing the fact that she's in a coma?
Probably not, but I couldn't help doing it.
Because we did that a few times.
Yeah.
When they're like yelling at her. I'm like,
look, I'm not gonna apologize,
funny.
Okay? I'm not gonna apologize for laughing. If I laughed, I laughed for a reason, okay? I'm not gonna apologize for it.
Oh.
But yeah. That was the main reason I was laughing during the sex scene. It wasn't I expected them to hook up. It was just the concept of me thinking about what he had to have been thinking at the time. Because, like, how often do you think Patton Oswalt's going to get a sex scene in his movies?
Especially with a woman who has, I believe, multiple times been declared the sexiest woman alive.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Like, and the fact that, like, it's Patton Oswalt. It almost feels like Patton Oswalt playing a more pathetic version of himself.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're really ramping up he creates his own custom dolls. and by combining dolls. Seven,
it's like, which seemed like one of his bits, like, well, actually, in the 1920s, it was a rubber manufacturer.
Exactly, felt like that something shit.
He would say in one of his bits in that exact same type of voice.
Exactly. That's why I always just, I guess I was just thinking about
Mos Eisley juice.
Oh my god, the Mos Eisley juice.
Get most Mos Eisley liquor.
And just the way
Star Wars juice.
And like, that's why I liked their like old friend banter, even if they didn't quite fit. It's because it really felt like some like how Patton would talk to a friend that he antagonized. You know?
Yes.
A lot of his lines just rang as something that he would just say normally. You know.
Naturalistic dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. So, I would be interested to see him in that other movie, because I imagine he's not just playing Patton Oswalt.
No, that one,
I mean,
as far as I know, is straight drama. It's not a comedy.
Yeah, exactly. But this really, it almost felt like you could have pulled these out of bits that he had done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Were you expecting, I guess before that, but we're tangential. Not to that.
Yeah.
Thoughts. That meltdown scene reminded me of, say, the most awkward scene in any of The Office.
Oh, man. Like,
it was The Office level awkward. Yeah. It wasn't its own special level. I mean, The Office is, to me, this standard bearer
of
awkward scenes
that
are still a little bit funny.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was hard to watch. I don't know if you had trouble watching that.
I was looking at the screen for most of it. It was just cringe.
Yeah, I was. It's rare that a movie actually makes me do that. Like, I have a tendency to kind of cringe at stuff like that anyway. You know, like, feel awkward for the character for some reason.
Yes.
You know, but, like, that one, it's rare that I have to, like, I'm just, like, not even looking at the screen. Like, no, that's not happening. Like, holy crap. It was played so well too, because everything that could have been awkward about that scene was awkward about that scene. You know, like right up to him raising the door and the drums.
Yeah.
And Shep like, what? Oh my god,
it's a drum set.
Oh my god. And then to the you know, the one thing I didn't expect was the whole miscarriage thing.
Yeah, that was apparently the impetus of her arriving was him being a father reminded her of
exactly
that she could have had that life.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
And I thought that was interesting. It did make her madness
a little bit more justified.
Mm-hmm.
I did one thing. I don't know if I fully expected it or not, but I did kind of like how at the end she accepted that she was fucking insane, like that she knew, because for a while there it felt like the movie was going to play out that like she was just completely oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Like that she just didn't get it. Like it was just everybody else doesn't get it. Like that she was one of the. She was basically, you know, Paris Hilton. You know, like the outward appearance, you know what I mean? Like how, like, I would think that's how we think people like that view themselves. They don't see how crazy they are. But I did like just the concept of her just openly admitting to herself and somebody else that she's... Patton Oswalt in the movie was basically her conscience. Because every time she showed up on screen with him, it was to discuss something that had happened and that she was upset about. And she was just like bold-faced honest with him, like not even trying to hide, you know.
Right.
And that was actually the moment the relationship changed over from they had just met and they were friends to they were old friends was when they walked out of the bar
when she had to tell him
I
can't tell you in here.
Well, when like the moment I realized it was when she was like, oh, look, a cab. He's like, yeah, because we called it. You know, like, it felt like he was talking to an old friend at that point, and I was like, wait, what? Like, oh, this is their relationship now, apparently. Okay. And then, like, her just show... Oh, my God. I loved the scene where she showed up at his house so much.
What?
The first time she shows up at his place. And she talks to his sister, like they're in high school again, and she's like, hey, is he home? Yeah. He's in his cave. And then she just kind of walks away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really liked how that played out. Like, high school had never ended.
I was getting sort of a different... Well, I was getting a little bit of that. I was also mm-hmm. getting some of, like, a weird reverberation. Things coming back of mm-hmm. the sister expecting her to remember that she brought her Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah. Well, that
and
was
still being well, mad about it.
Well, oh my God. That was, I think that's why that scene felt that way for me, because I know people like that. That, like, they had the most basic and, like, tiny interactions with you, but they walk up and talk to you as if they've known you your whole life merely because you went to high school together. Like, I don't know if you've had that conversation with somebody before.
No,
but it's
that I recall.
It's really awkward. Because I don't know. I can't recall. There was somebody that was particularly like that. Like, I walked up and, like, they talked to me as if, like, we had just graduated. And it had been, like, years.
Awkward.
You know? Like, it is. You know? And I, like, sometimes people like that, they, you know, it almost feels like there's some kind of, like, social contract, like you have to act like that when you could just act like you're basically strangers, because that's what you are. Yeah, you went to high school together, but there's a lot of people I went to high school with that I have no idea who the hell those people are. You know what I mean? and that was one moment that I was like, I remember thinking that before, like, why don't people just act like that? Like, act like how it really is. Why does this social contract kick in that you have to act like you know this person? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, I don't... But then again, I've always been the socially awkward type. So, maybe that comes with being socially awkward.
What do you make of the... I wouldn't call it a twist, but mm-hmm. the wife invited her to the baby naming thing?
That also kind of rang...
Sorry.
That also kind of rang true for me, too, because I also know people like that. That... It's not that she had bad intention by doing it. It's that concept that you can't help but feel like she was looking down on this person because, oh my God, she's lonely. She has nothing. I have a family and a husband and, you know, a child. I have everything. And she just has nothing. Oh, that poor child. When she was also looking at her the same way. Like, you hopeless, you know, you're trapping my love in this hopeless marriage with a baby basically tied around his ankle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people
tied
like that.
Tied around his ankle.
Yes, tied around his ankle. Like a ball and chain. I've also known people like that before too, that, like, I know it's not isolated to this lake community. It's kind of a small community thing. You know, that kind of weird, it's not necessarily they feel superior to. I don't know. Maybe they do. It just that weird. They look down on those person.
Slight,
like,
condescension.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's one thing I could never stand was that condescending feel, that condescending tone. You know what I mean? But so yeah, that did actually. It really. I guess it was a twist, but I did completely understand that position. You know, the whole. You know, everybody gets it. You know, you don't just come back randomly, without question. You know. From the city and, like, you know, for no apparent reason, you know. Mm-hmm. It was clear there was something wrong with you.
Yep.
You know. But that also did kind of hold true to the... It really did feel like a... Because Patton Oswalt had a bit at one point in time about living in a small town and getting out.
Yeah,
you
Virginia.
Know? It really did ring as something that probably was very personal to him. Because, like, that whole ending really felt like pretty much, like, probably how he feels. Like, the whole, you know, you don't need to change. There's nothing wrong with you. Fuck this small town type thing, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, because the small town universe is just such a enclosed thing that, you know, they just kind of lose touch with what's around.
It's a bubble.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I did, you know, again, it was, I think I enjoyed it so much because it did hit really close to home. You know, whether or not I felt exactly like the characters in the movie felt, it didn't change the fact that what they were saying was really kind of personal stuff that, you know, had, you know, that I probably thought about at one point in time or another. You know, so, I don't know. I guess I enjoyed it.
I guess I
enjoyed it. I guess I enjoyed it, then. I certainly laughed enough.
Definitely.
There were some really, really funny bits in that.
Yeah. So that is...
Anything else? Any other pieces you have?
I don't have anything on those movies.
Right? Yeah. That would be it?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's what we really thought. I'm Robert.
I am Jaron.
Please, if you enjoy this, share it with friends, family.
Please, for God's sake.
This is available on iTunes under the podcast name The Wawasee Group.
We have families to feed.
We have a Facebook page.
This is our only
income.
The Wawasee
Group. We also have a website, The Wawasee Group, the address of which is wawaseegroup.blogspot.com. That's W-A-W-A-S-E-E group.blogspot.com.
Think of the children.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.